from KQED.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Today, the House of Representatives is expected to vote on a sweeping proposal put forward by Tulare County Congressman Devin Nunes. The bill would pipe more water to farms and challenge the largest river restoration project in U.S. history. Central Valley Bureau Chief Sasha Coca has more.
This is the San Joaquin River, once home to the nation's largest spring-run Chinook salmon population. Environmentalists and farmers tangoed for 18 years in federal court over its fate, finally agreeing to restore water to some 60 miles of dry riverbed and bring back the salmon that died off when the river was dammed just above Fresno.
Look at that beauty. See his green head?
Chris Akery is watching a pair of ducks swim down a stretch of river just south of Fryant Dam. He's director of Revive the River, a Fresno-based nonprofit.
Most people associate the San Joaquin as a dry, toxic river. Now that this water is back in the river, it allows us to identify ourselves with this river as a living river. This restoration program really is the broadest collaboration between agencies, landowners, stakeholders, and water users, where everybody has a voice.
But Congressman Devin Nunes says many Central Valley farmers have been left out of water decisions that put fish before farmers. His bill would not only reverse plans to restore salmon to this river, it would relax pumping restrictions in the delta designed to protect other endangered fish.
So this is a case where the environmental radicals have overstepped their bounds, broken deal after deal after deal to where they've left entire communities without water. That simply was never the intent of the Endangered Species Act. It was never the intent of Congress to begin with. This is just common sense.
Some 70 water districts and a number of farm groups are supporting the Nunes bill, but legislators from Delta communities say the plan is a water grab designed to overturn 150 years of California water rights to benefit a small group of powerful Central Valley farmers. Even if the bill passes the House, its supporters face an upstream fight in the Senate. And the Obama administration has threatened a veto, saying the Nunes bill would unravel decades of work to solve some of California's most complex water challenges. For the California Report, I'm Sasha Coca in Fresno.
After an emotional six-hour meeting last night, the Stockton City Council voted to suspend payments to creditors and enter into a mediation period considered a legal precursor to the largest city bankruptcy filing in California history. The basic outlines of how Stockton came to this juncture are broadly known. The recession hit the Central Valley hard. Stockton offered more generous labor benefits than it could afford, and it made some investments that seemed sensible just before the markets tanked. Jeff Michael of the Business Forecasting Center at the University of the Pacific summed it up on KQED's Forum program.
Stockton went a little bit farther in accumulating debt and borrowing heavily during the good times during the last decade. It's just a somewhat more extreme case of problems that are plaguing cities everywhere.
Stockton's credit score has already dropped on Wall Street. This will make it difficult to borrow money, but city leaders say they haven't abandoned plans to redevelop Stockton's downtown. The Los Angeles Police Commission has approved a more lenient policy on impounding the cars of unlicensed drivers. As LA Bureau Chief Chrissy Clark reports, the vote has big implications for illegal immigrants who can't get driver's licenses under state law.
In 1994, California lawmakers trying to discourage illegal immigration passed a law requiring proof of citizenship to get a driver's license. But Los Angeles Police Chief Charlie Beck says in reality, many undocumented immigrants drive anyway. So he's come up with a proposal he says gives them incentive to be more responsible on the road.
We will still cite everybody that we find that is driving unlicensed. We still will impound their vehicles in the vast majority of instances. What we're trying to do here is to acknowledge people that have taken the positive steps that they are able to do to be safer drivers.
In the past, Los Angeles police often put a 30-day hold on unlicensed drivers' cars, involving fees of more than $1,200. But under Beck's new policy, unlicensed drivers would qualify for shorter impounds if they can show valid identification, car registration, and proof of insurance. They also couldn't be at fault in an accident or have any prior convictions for driving without a license. The police commission approved the new policy 4-1 Tuesday. Commissioner Alan Scobin cast the one dissenting vote. He pointed to a recent AAA study that shows unlicensed drivers are 9 times more likely to be involved in a hit and run than unlicensed ones.
I think there's a strong public safety interest in
keeping the vehicle of the unlicensed driver off the streets.
The Los Angeles District Attorney and the State Legislative Council have warned the new policy may be illegal, but the L.A. City Attorney disagrees. The City Council has until March 9th to overrule the commission's actions. In the meantime, some state lawmakers are drafting a bill that would create a driver's license category just for illegal immigrants. For the California Report, I'm Chrissy Clark in Los Angeles.
A bill under consideration in the state assembly would prevent mobile food vendors from operating near schools. That's put a bad taste in the mouth of gourmet truck operators, as the California Report's Nina Thorson explains.
Over the last decade, California's public schools have worked to improve the quality of food for kids. They've removed sodas, potato chips, corn dogs, and pizza nuggets. The logical next target, says Assemblyman Bill Monning of Carmel, is the mobile vendor parked near the school.
And it's school administrators, teachers, elected school boards who are saying they're fighting a losing battle when these vendors have access to the school sites.
I actually think this legislation is more a legacy of the idea of roach coaches and ice cream trucks that sell sort of packaged processed foods.
That's Matt Cohen, who runs Off the Grid, a series of weekly food truck meetups in the Bay Area. He believes Monning's intentions are good, but his bill is not. AB 1678 would prohibit mobile vendors from setting up within 1,500 feet of any public or private school. In an urban environment, that's about three blocks.
And so for highly dense areas like San Francisco, Oakland, San Jose, Los Angeles, this would have unintended consequences for the energy that street food can bring to a particular neighborhood.
At a rally in San Francisco yesterday, dozens of vendors crowded around a map showing the areas that would be off limits. Jim Angeles was shocked.
It would destroy my business. There's so many food trucks that we all couldn't operate in that small little area that would be available for us to operate.
Angeles's bacon truck sells a sandwich with broccoli rabe, roasted peppers, sriracha mayonnaise, and bacon.
I'm not targeting school kids. I don't have a kids menu.
Assemblyman Monning says he's open to any suggestions for improving his bill. He's been working with food truck vendors from Southern California. For the California Report, I'm Nina Thorson.
That's the California Report for Wednesday, February 29th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the Mary Van Voorhees Fund and the Follis Family Fund for coverage of climate change, and Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as email archiving for compliance and litigation readiness. Barracuda.com.